so much can distract you from achieving your goals and dreams. Is there a way to balance your work with other things you enjoy doing that will not make you feel like your time is being abused? At Born to Lead program, we help you to discover or rediscover your purpose or plan for life. We tell you how to find purpose in life. We are all born with a purpose. Join us on the journey to discover how other people have successfully achieved their dream or are on the path of doing so, and how you can do the same. This is Born to Lead. My name is Kizito, and I'm your host. Join us here now on 104.6 Planet FM.
Auckland. Good afternoon, the nation's business capital. This is the Born to Lead program, coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM 104.6. My name is Kizito, and I'm your host. So if you're just tuning in right now, you are listening to the Born to Lead program. It's a very cloudy, rainy day at Aotearoa, New Zealand. And for sure, it looks like the winter is finally here. This is Welcome Home by the famous Osibisa Band. This is the Born to Lead program. Yes, it's another great week. What a very lively program coming to you live. Yeah, it's raining helter-skelter down there at Auckland, New Zealand. Just tune in. You are listening to the Born to Lead Show, coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM. It is a very rainy day in Auckland. But the show still continues. So if you just tune in now, this is the Born to Lead Show, coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM 104.6. So as I said earlier, so today we're going to be talking about a very interesting topic, something that is very dear to my heart. You know, so I've experienced it quite a few times, and I feel that people need to know some of the basic things, you know, when it comes to leadership. You know, when we are talking about leadership, what are some of the things that we could learn, you know, to help us to be effective. And as I said, and I say it many times, so it doesn't matter whether you are a leader of a small, you know, soccer team or a startup or a corporate organization. It doesn't really matter. You know, what it matters is that what you do, what makes you effective, you know, whatever you find yourself as a leader. You know, as with most popular sayings, you know, and I've said it before, you know, that we all know this particular adage. We say, oh, great leaders are born, not made. I mean, I personally don't believe in that. I believe that everybody is born as a leader, you know, and yeah, you are born as a leader, you know, because you are born to lead, you know, with your special gift. Because everyone is born with a gift, you know, so it doesn't matter where you find yourself, you know, at the corner of the world, you know. But with that particular adage, to some extent, the capacity for great leadership is innate. You know, that's what probably propels that argument that some people were born leaders. Because why? Because they are very great at speaking, you know, they are great at putting things in order and all that. But however, learning how to be a more effective leader is within everyone's grasp. You understand? So we learn. We go to the university or we go to school to learn. So, and it is knowledge that helps us, you know, to be better people. You know, it does not necessarily mean that you execute things with wisdom. So there's difference between knowledge and wisdom, which we'll get there one time or another time. So whether you lead multiple teams or a small group of people or even yourself, you know, executing what you believe to be something that you were born to do, or an entire company, it doesn't matter. You know, you need to learn certain things. And that's what I keep saying, that leadership qualities, you know,
there are certain things everyone can use. There are so many things when it comes to leadership quality that everyone can use. It doesn't necessarily matter whether you were born with some certain abilities or not. You know, there are certain things that anyone can learn to make them effective, you know, when it comes to leadership. So here are some few things. And this is something that I do personally, as I said. You know, I walk the talk. I practice some of these things. See, there are some few qualities and traits that great leaders, you know, about great leaders that you can learn or you can practice it to help you to become an effective leader. The first one is self-assessment. See, I've said this before, that for you to be great or for you to be better at what you do, you need to, on regular basis or constantly, assess yourself. You know, self-assessment is very, very critical when it comes to effective leadership. Effective leaders periodically take stock of their personal strengths and shortcomings. So you need to be able to know what you are good at and what you aren't good at. So they ask questions like, what do I do? Or what do I like to do? Or what am I really good at? You know, some of these things, those are some of the questions that you need to ask yourself from time to time. And what are the areas of my weakness? You know, what do I do or what do I dislike doing? You know, I don't like, for example, I don't like maybe doing this or A, B, or C. So those are some of the things that, you know, you need to be able, you know, to ask yourself, you know, to help you to become an effective leader. Knowing your areas of weakness does not necessarily mean that you are weak. You know, many a times people misconstrue that. That if you know, if you're not good at probably talking in public, or if you're not good at probably making, you know, maybe ads, you know, with some apps on your page or something like that, you know, it doesn't mean that you cannot be an effective leader. On the contrary, it allows you to delegate to others who have those abilities. So delegation is very important when it comes to leadership. In order to achieve a common goal, so you need to sometimes delegate certain things that you are not good at. If you're not good at IT, if you're not good at certain places, you know, you have to let people do that, you know. And doing so does not mean that, you know, you are giving away your powers or you are giving away your leadership. No, rather than clinging to the false belief that, you know, they can do it all. I mean, you can do it all. Great leaders hire people who complement, you know, rather than supplement their skills. So if you know that you are not good at A, B, and C, you need to be able to delegate those areas to other people to complement you, you know, and that will make you a better person. So working on your areas of weaknesses will improve your leadership ability. It will make you a better person. It will make you a more effective and efficient person, you know, as a leader. And that means that you recognize that you are human and you don't know it all. And, you know, God created us in such a way that you have a weakness so that people can take that place for you. So imagine if we know it all, you know. I mean, we human beings can be so arrogant, and so even with our weaknesses, you know, some people happen to be very arrogant. They think they know it all. You know, so imagine if a human being knows it all. I mean, that would be very dangerous. So that is why we don't know it all. No matter how much you learn, no matter how much, you know, you are able to put yourself in so many things, you can't know it all. You know, and that's what's surprising. You know, those who are very learned, the higher their goal, the narrow, you know, they narrow the path in terms of their specification. For instance, somebody studied medicine, and as they do a PhD, as they do thesis and all that, you can see that they focus on particular research, you know, they focus on specific things so that they can be good at that particular area. That is how it is. You know, you can't know it all. That's why it is very important that on a regular basis, you know, you assess yourself and know your strengths, know your weaknesses, and where the areas that you aren't good at, you know, you delegate people, you know, to compliment you on those areas. That's very important. And number two, you're talking about perception. You know, perception is a very powerful thing. You know, perception can put things into chaos or make things better. We hear about, you know, the GFC, the global financial crisis. It all started with, you know, perception that, oh, something is going wrong. And all of a sudden, you know, the market is crashing. Things are going wrong. Why? It's because of perception. So perception is something that can be at the center when it comes to leadership. Do you know how many people really perceive you? You know, effective leaders do. I mean, how do people perceive you? How do people look at you? How do people say about you? How do they think this particular person, who is he? You know, like, you need to be in that particular area where, you know, you'll be able to know how people see you. Because perception is very important. You know, they have an easy level of honest communications with their teams or their peers. And that is, I'm talking about great leaders. And thorough understanding of how they are perceived. So if you are a leader and you don't know how people see you, you don't know how people perceive who you are, then that is a problem. Because it means that you are not doing enough to know how people see you. And that could be something that I would say it could be a vacuum, you know, when it comes to you being effective when it comes to leadership. So testing others' perception of you can be as simple as observing their behavior, observation, you know, just don't say anything. You know, you just observe how they do things. You know, your team leaders or your co-workers, you know, you can just, you know, relax and see how they do things. Does all conversation stop when you enter the room? You know, those are some of the things. Like, the moment you enter the room, what is the atmosphere? I mean, how do people, you know, perceive you? How do people react, you know, the moment you enter a meeting room or something like that? So you may receive feedback that you are not listening or showing appreciation as well as you could be. If you've established an environment of honest and open communication, I believe that your team members or the people that you are leading should be able to come to you freely. They should be able to give you feedback, you know, easily discuss things with you without any obstacles, you know, on the way. So perception is something that is very great that we need to take into consideration, you know, when it comes to being an effective leader. And then the other thing that I want us to discuss is also I want to talk about is responsive to your team's needs. I mean, the things that are necessary, you know, for your team, you know, to have or to equip them to be able to be effective, you know, and efficient when it comes to, you know, working together as a team. Being perceptive, you know, can also help a leader to be more effective in knowing the needs of the team. So perceptive, it's very, very crucial. You know, some teams value trust over creativity. You know, they value loyalty over other things. You know, others prefer a clear communicator to a great organizer. You know, people have different ways of, you know, as I said, strength and weaknesses. Building a strong team is easier when you know the values and the goals of each individual, because aside the goals and the values and the vision of the organization, you must remember that individuals have got their goals and visions as well. They may be working with you or trying to, you know, help to achieve the ultimate goals and visions of the organization, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they don't have their own personal goals and values. So that is where you need to look at. You need to critically look at the values and the goals of these individuals. You know, that's why we have what we call performance reviews, where you have to be able to talk to your employees or your team members or your teammates about what they think. I mean, where is their vision? Where are they going? You know, and stuff like that. So that helps, you know, the team to be able to know the individual strength and probably their goals and where they think they can do more to help the team to be able to achieve, you know, their goals and visions. So building a strong team is easier when you know the values, you know, and the goals of individuals, as well as what they need from you as the leader. So some people could be very frank with you. You know, people who are very, outspoken, you know, very extrovert. They don't mind. They could just lay down just like that, you know. But some people have also, they have different ways of communicating with you that all is not well. And you need to be able to tap into that to be able to listen. You know, listening is very important, which we will come to that, you know, later at this stage. The other thing that I want to talk about when it comes to effective leadership, you know, is knowing your organization or knowing the team. You know, that is also very important. Effective leaders know the organization. You have to know the vision, you have to know the goals, you have to know the purpose, and the agreed upon strategies, you know, to achieve the goals of the organization. You also have to know, you know, where your team fits when it comes to the big picture and what they can do or the role they can play to make sure that the organization grows and thrives. You know, it is very important for them to be able to fit into the organization. You know, you help them to be able to achieve, you know, make them the best people that you can. You know, full knowledge of your organization or the company or the group that you are leading, knowing it inside out is vital to becoming an effective leader. And it's very important to look at some of those areas as well. Now, let's look at some of the qualities. Now, what are some of the things that effective leaders have in common? The things that people who are very good at what they do when it comes to leadership, what are some of the things that, you know, they easily share, you know, when it comes to leadership? For example, you know, they listen openly to others. Effective leaders are able to let people come in, you know, so that they can talk openly. You know, they don't like shutting people off. They don't like shutting them down. You know, if anything, something is worrying you, or as a team member, they are able to bring you in so that you can be able to discuss openly what is wrong with you. They offer and accept constructive suggestions. So if you have anything that you believe is going to help the team to be able to achieve their goals and visions, effective leaders are able to bring in the team members, you know, listen. You know, they are able to keep an eye on whatever is going on and their ears open and be able to accept any constructive suggestions or recommendations, you know, from the team members that helps to achieve the goals and the visions of the organization. You know, they give clear directions. They don't make people confused when it comes to achieving the goals and the visions of the organization. You know, they're able to say, this is where we are going and this is where it's going to get us there. And that is why you have goals and visions. You know, that is why, you know, you have a strategy that as a team to help you get there. You know, your vision is where you are going and your mission is how you're going to get there. So if you're a team member, you need to be able to communicate that, you know, to your team members. They need to be able to get it. They need to be able to be on board, to be able to help, you know, drive the bus, you know, from point A to point B, if that is the destination, you know, of your organization. They set and meet deadlines, you know, as simple as that. You know, we're going to do this. This is the timeline and it needs to be followed, you know, and that helps, you know, when there are clear strategies in place, you know, to achieve the goals of a project organization. You also need to give formal and informal presentation. Sometimes you got to relax the environment. It's not every day that it has to be in suit, formal meetings, you know, like that. No, you know, once in a while, you need to be able to relax the environment. I remember very well when I finished my degree and I got a job on the harbor bridge as an engineer. We are what you call casual Fridays. And on casual Fridays, you know, but the general manager, everybody in the team, what we do is we close early, kind of in quote, close early, around 3 o'clock. And for the next 1 hour or so, you know, all of us around the table, and then we talk about sports. We talk about, like, how did the week go? Were there any things that we could improve? You know, so it, and then over drinks. So people will grab a beer, people will grab, you know, wine, people will grab, you know, soft drinks or whatever you feel like taking, you know, is there. And it was an environment, relaxed environment for us to contribute, you know, make the place better, you know, because the GM will ask, okay, so what are some of the things you guys experienced in the week? And it's and it doesn't matter whether you are a middle manager, whether you are a guy working on the floor as a welder, or it doesn't matter. All of us, the welders, the cleaners, everybody, you know, comes into the room. And then we just talk over beer, talk over drinks, you know, where... And I didn't know that, they were taking on board what we were saying. And then we started, you know, noticing some changes. And these changes came out of the meetings that we're having on Fridays, you know, and in a relaxed environment. So sometimes it doesn't always have to be a formal meeting. It can be a very relaxed, informal meeting or presentations where you could tell the organization, members of the organization, what's going on and where we are going, and then also take on board what they bring as a feedback to what we do. Also, one of the things we need to help, you know, the team members identify and solve problems. You need to be able to empower your employees, empower the people who are helping to let the organization achieve its goals and visions, empower them to solve problems. You need to challenge them, make them able to get out of their comfort zone, you know, to be able to have a way of solving problems. One of the things, you need to serve an example of desired behavior. You know, you have to walk the talk. You know, you need to be able to walk the talk in the terms of setting up an exemplary behavior. You know, you can't be going around, you know, doing things that are not morally right and expect the people that are following you to do the same. So that's also one thing that you need to take note as well, or things that effective leaders do, some of the qualities. Other thing is they show appreciation of others' contributions. It's very important. Yes, you could criticize people, you know, when they do things wrong, but you must know that sometimes you have to do it in a constructive manner so that they don't feel that, you know, they are being put out there in the lion's den, you know, without any support, you know, from above or from the leadership. You need to be able to appreciate, you know, things that people do. Show understanding. You know, sometimes it might be a pretense, but that's good. You know, at least it's a good move that they know that you care as a leader. So you need to be able to show understanding. Sometimes if you don't know, you have to go out of a way to learn about some of these things so that it could help you to get a better feedback, you know, from the people that are executing those projects. You also have to encourage your team members, you know, to exchange ideas. You know, teamwork is very important. You know, it can't always be just me, just like that. Or people who feel like, you know, they do better by just working by themselves, you know, so they don't want to work with anybody. No, I mean, you do better, you know, when you work in a team. As the old adage goes, that it says, when you walk alone, you know, when you run alone or you walk alone, you know, you can go this far. But when you are walking alone, you know, you can reach, you know, further than just, you know, walking by yourself. So it's very important, you know, that you'll be able to work together as a team. And that's very crucial. And encourage members to exchange ideas, as I say, and then handle conflict. You know, how to handle conflict. You need to be in a position to be able to handle any misunderstandings between, you know, team members. Guide the group in a goal setting and decision making. You know, you need to be able to be there at all times to help them understand, you know, what the vision and the mission of the organization or the project is all about. So you need to be able to help them, you know, understand what it means, you know, to do A, B, and C, you know, when it comes to executing some of the goals and the visions of the organization. And then the delegate responsibilities, as I said, we have our weaknesses and the things that we are good at. We're not born to know everything. You know, you can't do everything by yourself as a person. So you need to learn to delegate things to other people. And that helps the team. That helps other people, you know, to learn as well, especially those who are your subordinate, so that one day when you are not there, they can easily fuse in. They can easily take over without any gaps, without any vacuum, you know. And that said, a successful leader, you know, a leader without, you know, a successful successor is a failure. Because if you aren't able to groom people up to take over from you when you are gone, then you have failed. So as a leader, you know, your leadership is only tested. I mean, the success of your leadership is tested by the success of your successors. So if your successors aren't able to do well, then it means you have failed, because you are not able to put measures in place when it comes to continuity, when it comes to people taking over. So if you are gone and the organization, you know, plumps or, you know, goes down the drain, then it means that you have failed as a leader. That is why it's important to delegate stuff, delegate responsibilities, coach people, mentor people, so that they will be able to take over from you when you are gone. So you ask questions of the group to prompt responses. So it's very important for you to be able to have that engagement as well. Create a productive atmosphere. And it's very important, you know, for people to feel that it's a safe environment, it's productive, and it's something that will help them to achieve even their personal goals and visions. So those are some of the qualities of great leaders. And I believe that if you are able to execute even most of these things as a leader, and I can guarantee that things will change, you know, when it comes to, you know, improving your leadership skills or making you more effective and efficient. And there are other traits, other things that we can look at when it comes to leaders who are effective, you know, as well as efficient. They are good at what they do, and they are able to add value to the organization. You know, effective leaders, number one, are honest. You know, honesty is very, very important. This gives them the credibility, resulting in the trust and confidence of the people that they are working with. So if they cannot trust you, if the people you are working with cannot trust you, then there's a problem. You know, so you need to be able to get people, you know, to trust you. And for that to happen, you need to be honest. You need to be very honest with the people that you work with. You know, credible leaders foster greater pride in the organization, you know, on the project, a stronger spirit of cooperation and teamwork, and more feelings of ownership and personal responsibility. So being honest with the people that you work with, making them feel that this place is a safe haven where we don't hide things from each other. You know, if something goes wrong, be honest with the people that this is what is going on, and that we need to be able to work at it to make it better. You know, if it is something that is going to affect the organization negatively, let them know. You know, let people know what it is. You know, at the end of the day, it is what it is. So than to be hiding certain things from them, and then they later find out that that's not the picture that you painted to them. And that is deception. And people sometimes feel very offended when leaders are not bluntly honest with them when it comes to some of these issues. So that is very important. And the other thing is, great leaders do what they say they will do. In other words, their word is their word. You know, if you promise something and you don't follow it up, then what does your word mean? You know, your word should mean something to people. Your word should mean something especially to your subordinate. Your word should mean something to the people who are looking up to you. Your word should mean something, you know, to your teammate. You know, it is very important when they know that your word carries weight and you walk the talk, you do what you say you will do. You know, there is no way that they will lose confidence in you as a leader. So your people are able to keep their promises, you know, and follow through as well. And that takes you to commitment, you know. So which means that they're able to what? Believe in the organization. Why? Because they know that their leader, you know, word means something. They're able to walk the talk. They're able to do what they said they would do. Even if it goes wrong, they know that you were honest and able to go by your word. So it is very important for us not to say something and then do something else. So you must be able to do what you say you will do. That is one trait, you know, about effective leaders. The other thing that I want to talk about is that effective leaders make sure that their actions are consistent with the wishes of the people they lead. So you can't be saying this, you know, and then the goals and the visions of the organization also sit somewhere. You need to be able to consistently deliver, you know, the wishes of the people that you lead, or the wishes of the strategy that has been put in place, you know, for the organization. You know, they have a clear idea of what others value and what they can do. So if you don't know your subordinate, if you don't know your team members, then that is a problem, because you don't know what they can do to help achieve the visions and the goals of the organization. So you need to be able to make sure that you are consistent when it comes to taking action, and then also in line, you know, with the wishes of the people, you know. And the other thing is, great leaders believe in the inherent self-worth of others. You know, you need to be able to believe others. You know, have confidence in other people. You know, be able to let people, you know, take up the mantle. You know, be able to empower them, you know, to take over, or to at least demonstrate that they can lead as well. And as I said, these are some of the ways that you can start building people, you know, to be successes, building people to take over, you know, when you are not there anymore, or maybe something happens and people have to step in. You know, that confidence needs to be there all the time. And those are some of the things that effective leaders do. So they are not worried when they are away. They are not worried when they are not there anymore. Why? Because they know that they have invested, you know, overwhelmingly in people to take over when they are not there. And those are some of the marks, you know, of great leaders. You know, people who can be able to let people, groom people up, groom them up to take over when they are not anymore. So that is very important. And also, great leaders admit to their mistakes. You know, when things go wrong, you need to admit that you've dropped the ball. You don't always have to defend the indefensible. You know, you have to be honest that we are human. Everyone make mistakes, you know, but in a situation where you try to let people, you portray to people, especially those around you, that you don't make mistakes, you know, you don't falter, you don't do anything wrong, then it sends a wrong message. You know, the more you let people know that you can also make mistakes, the better, because they realize that attempting to hide a mistake is damaging and erodes credibility. So anytime you make a mistake and you try to hide it, you know, it is your credibility, it is your reputation that is going down the drain. So you need to be able to accept it, you know, when you make mistakes, and let people know that for this one, it didn't go down well, and you can do better. You know, you can be able to make things better, you know, when you are given another chance. It's very important. Great leaders also create a trusting and open climate, an environment where people can easily open up. They can easily trust people, you know, or the people around them. You know, that atmosphere is very important. The atmosphere of trust, the atmosphere of honesty, the atmosphere of people making sure that they can be able to trust other people when it comes to, you know, leadership. Those great leaders also help others to be successful and feel empowered. As I said, that is one of the marks of successful leaders. Because if you are a leader and you are not there anymore and the organization crumbles, you know, then that makes you a failure because you aren't able to hold, to raise a successor, you know, to take over from you. Because a successful leader, it's only one who has been able to have a successor who is able to, you know, take over without any blemish. So it is very important, you know, that your success, the mark of your success as a leader is marked by the success of your successor. So that is very important. So you need to be able to empower people. Don't just, you know, just cloud yourself, you know, trying to let people know that, you know, you this is your style and no one else can copy that from you, or no one else can help you achieve something that you feel you can do it just by yourself. You need to start delegating stuff to other people. You have to empower other people. You have to let them feel that they are being empowered, because that sense of, you know, ownership, that sense of being great, or, you know, the people around you feeling that they are also being empowered, is very important. And that is what helps, you know, people to take over, you know, when they are not there anymore. If you look at very big companies, you know, they are multinational organizations where, you know, they've groomed a lot of their own people up and they easily take over. Sometimes if the CEO or the leader of the organization is not there anymore, you don't even see any difference. Why? Because the people within the organization, they have been groomed up. So when they take over, it's easy because they know what they are doing, because their leader was able to have confidence in them, delegate them to do so many things that, you know, they can easily take over. So that is very important. And great leaders don't push too much. Your push has a limit. As a leader, your push has a limit. You need to be able to create an environment where people can easily, you know, they can easily, you know, feel confident that they can do things their own way without necessarily, you know, following your way. You know, that is the sense of freedom, you know, that we have, you know, when it comes to, you know, leadership. Even God respects our power of choice, and how much more we fellow human beings. You need to respect the choices of people. If people take over or you delegate them and they do things quite differently, allow them. You know, you don't push too much. You know, you allow them to do certain things their own way to help achieve the same vision or the same goal of the organization. So the encourage members, all you have to do is encourage the people, you know, to be able to do more, but know when it is too much. You know, knowing when it is too much makes you a great leader. Because if you don't know and you keep pushing and pushing and pushing and it breaks, you know, that doesn't help anyone. It doesn't help you as a leader, and it doesn't help the person that you are trying to help as well. So you have to know your limit as a leader, you know. And those are some of the attributes of great leaders. They know when to stop, or they know when to stop, you know, when it comes to pushing people or their subordinate, you know, to do things. You know, great leaders also roll up their sleeves. You know, I've seen so many great leaders where, you know, it's not just about just maybe sitting at the office or just, you know, having a conditioning room and just not being involved. You know, they love to help. They love to go down, you know, and then see what is happening. You know, maybe at the factory or see what is happening on site and stuff like that. And sometimes get involved. And they show the people or the team members that they aren't just figurehead or decision maker, you know, but they can hold they and members respect, or people respect leaders like that when they show their willingness to work alongside them, you know, taking a pipe, you know, from point A to point B, or just encouraging them, you know, being there, sitting down with them, having a beggar, you know, and having a conversation about family issues, you know, how you can help, you know, to make their health and safety on site much better way. People love that. And when they see that in their leaders, you know, they get excited and they're able to hold. It brings the best out of people that, you know, is the top guys are not just there, look, crunching the figures. They help. they know and they're able to make the people on the ground, you know, better people. And they believe that they can also, you know, go up there or they can climb up, you know, no matter who you are. So it's good for you to, as a leader, you know, to roll up your sleeves and get involved. That's very, and lastly, what I would say is that great leaders avoid phrases that cause resentment and reluctance and resistance. So there are certain things you don't say. It doesn't mean that you don't disagree, you know, but if you are a public figure or if you are a leader of an organization, it's not everything that you have to say. You know, you have the right to everything, but it's not everything that you can say, you know, as a leader. You know, for instance, instead of saying you have to do something, effective leaders, you know, request and recommend. So you don't command, you know, you don't shove it down their throat. You know, you have to have a nice way of letting people listen to you. You know, you can only say, if we can do it this way, I hope that will help. So you request or recommend that members do something, but you don't command them or you don't put it in a more forceful way where people feel like, you know, they have no other choice than to do what you have, than what you're telling them. So that is very important. So those are some of the things that we see in great leaders. And I believe that if you're able to work on some of these things, if you're listening to me right now and you know that this is you lack, you are a leader of an organization and you lack some of these areas, you know, you lack some of the qualities when it comes to being an effective leader, those are some of the things you can start looking at as well that will help you to become a more effective and efficient leader. And it's also very important, you know, when it comes to effective leadership, you know, for leaders, you know, to give feedback. Feedback is very important. You know, a communication is not complete when there's no feedback. You know, I learned this, you know, communication is 101. You know, when I was in the high school, that a communication without feedback is not a complete communication. So when the receiver communicates to the recipient, there has to be a feedback, and that is a complete circle. So if you're not getting feedback, you know, from the recipient as a receiver, then that communication is not complete, because feedback is part of the communication cycle. Now, whether you recognize it or not, as a leader, you are constantly providing feedback to your members. You know, sometimes it could be direct, sometimes it's indirect, you know, through maybe your managers or your middlemen and all that. But you constantly providing feedback, you know, by presentation of your stocks, presentation of your annual figures, you know, financial year and all that. You know, people are able to know, able to see, you know, what is going on in the organization. So how you provide that feedback will often spell the difference between, you know, the success and failure of members. You know, how you provide, you communicate to the people around you tells the success and the failure of the people, you know, that are following you as a leader. It's very, very critical that the type of feedback that people get that determines the success or the failure of the members or the people, you know, that you are communicating with. So, and I always tell people, you know, when you are giving feedback, especially if something goes wrong and you are giving feedback, we have what you call not just constructive, but a sandwich type of a feedback. For instance, there are so many ways that people get feedback. You know, if you are silent, for instance, when you give no response to your members' work, you aren't maintaining the status quo, but you're actually encouraging a decrease in both their performance and confidence on the long term. So they don't know if their actions are appropriate. Silence can create paranoia, you know, when you are just silent, because they don't know what is in your head. So it can create paranoia, you know, when it comes to that, you know. But when it comes to criticism, when you are giving criticism, for instance, trying to stop an unwanted behavior or result, you may criticize, you know, a subordinate or a member of the team. I mean, it often hurts the relationship you have with them when you are criticizing them for something negative. Sometimes their confidence may decrease. You know, they may start to avoid you, or other good behaviors of their members are affected. And this can overpower all the feedback that I give it. So sometimes it's okay to criticize, but as I said, you have to know when to stop, you know, or when, you know, not to push further, you know, when it comes to some of these things. And positive reinforcement, this takes the advice feedback one step further by identifying how much you appreciate the member's assistance, you know, in reaching their desired results or goals. And so accepting feedback can also be something that, as a leader, you know, you need to be able to have, you know, a better understanding of when it comes to people giving you feedback, you know, and then you accepting it. There's a difference between getting the feedback and then you accepting the feedback. So knowing how to accept feedback is another leadership skill, because so many of us are not good at that. You know, when, especially when it's something that we don't like to hear, you know. So that will teach you a lot about your leadership style. So resisting the temptation to resist the feedback, you know, is something that is very, you need to watch out for. You know, don't explain, defend, or deny. Listen silently to try and understand clearly what the other person is saying. As I said, don't try to explain, deny, or defend when you are getting the feedback, you know, from other people. Just sometimes, just shut up, keep quiet, and then listen silently. Try to understand clearly what the other person is saying. You don't have to agree with the feedback. You know, you don't have to be on board with what they are saying. But you have to be receptive to getting that feedback. Whether it's negative or positive, you just have to listen. You know, listening is a very powerful tool when it comes to leadership skills. And that's what so many people don't understand, that listening is part of leadership. You know, it's not every time that you have to talk. It's not every time you have to defend. It's not every time that you have to say something, you know, when it comes to getting feedback, you know, from people. Sometimes you just have to listen. Because listening is one of the great attributes, you know, of an effective leader. The ability to listen well is a cornerstone of good leadership. And that's what so many people don't understand. To listen well, you have to, one, stop talking. You don't talk. You know, listening is listening. You don't talk. You know, you watch for nonverbal clues. What the actions, when it's coming through. What are they trying to say to me? What are they implying? I mean, what can I take from what they are saying? You know, so those are some of the things that you need to watch out for when it comes to listening. You give visual feedback with nonverbal expressions and gestures. You know, you have to let people know that you are listening. Sometimes you just have to nod your head, you know, and without talking, you know, you just nod your head. You just make some gestures to make people or the person that is talking to you feel that they are being listened to. So those are some of the skills of good leadership. And you need to be patient as well. You know, sometimes you could go for about maybe half an hour, 1 hour, just talking. People just venting. You know, when people are venting, you know, you have to allow them to flow. You don't interrupt. You don't try to make them feel that they are wasting your time, you know, and all that. You need just have to be able to listen, you know, to them when they are talking. You know, our desire to provide quick fix solutions to problems of others puts up roadblocks. You know, you try to, you know, make a quick fix, you know, to that. That doesn't help. You don't have to finish. You know, you don't have to finish. I know you are going to say, you know, it's like you are trying to be in their shoes, you know, to finish their sentences for them. No, you don't have to do that. You have to be patient, you know, and listen to them. And don't mentally argue, you know. If you are developing argument in your mind,
as the speaker talks to you, probably you'll be missing the message, because we all do it. You try to prepare yourself mentally to defend or to argue or counter argue what they are saying. And if you're doing that on your mind, if you're doing that trying to, you know, debate them, you will miss what they are saying to you. So you just have to unblock everything in your head, you know, and just listen. And as I said, listening is one of the great attributes of good leadership, because if you cannot listen to people, then you wouldn't know what is going on around you. Because as I said, you can't do everything. You know, you work as a team. So if something goes wrong and you don't know, something, you know, misses the mark and you are not aware of that, and it takes other people to kind of make you understand what is going on, because you cannot see every blind spot, you know, when it comes to, you know, leading an organization. That's why we work with other people. You know, so listening is very important. And use reflective listening skills, like using paraphrasing to let the speaker know what you have heard. So you need to be able to, you know, acknowledge their ideas, you know, try, you know, not to interrupt. And then finally, you keep alert. You know, effective listening requires energy and concentration. Avoid distractions. Stop using the pen or trying to, you know, don't be distracted. You know, when you are listening to people who are trying to talk to you, you know, be alert, or keep alert. Let them know that you are listening to them. And there's nothing distracting you, or there's nothing taking part of your time, you know, whilst they are speaking. And that is very important. You know, there was one great leader who said, that is Woodrow Wilson, he said, and I quote, "I not only use all the brains I have, but all I can borrow," unquote. That's very powerful. So which means it's not only your brain, you know, that can help achieve something, but also using the brains of other people as well is very important, you know. So that is what I would say when it comes to, you know, effective leadership, that listening, you know, when it comes to accepting feedbacks, you know. And, and I know that if you are able to execute, you know, most of these things, you know, in your style of leadership, it doesn't matter, you know, as I said, where you find yourself leading. You could be a team leader of a very small soccer team, or you could be a captain, you know, of three people trying to execute a project, a startup, you know, multinational corporation, or a church, whatever. It doesn't necessarily matter, you know, where you find yourself leading. What matters is that what you do. You know, as the leader, what makes you effective, what makes you efficient, what makes you a better person, you know, when it comes to some of these things. And if you are able to execute some of these qualities, most of these, you know, traits, you know, of effective and good leaders, I believe that you will be able to come out, you know, as one of the best leaders in your organization, one of the top best leaders, you know, when it comes to, you know, leadership. Because it's very important, as I said, everyone, you know, is born a leader, you know, and it's up to you to learn certain things, you know, that will help equip you to be better at what you do. Because we're all born with gifts, you know, what we are good at. And learning some of these things helps you become a better person doing what you do. So that is part one of effective leadership. And we'll come back this week and continue with this effective leadership series too. So if you're just tuning, so that was the Born to Lead program. We will come back next week and look at some of the other things, you know, when it comes to like delegation, you know, how to delegate things to people, handling group discussions, you know, as well as, you know, handling difficult conversations, you know, as a leader. You know, those are some of the things that we'll be talking about next week when we come back on the Born to Lead show. So thank you for listening. Thank you for giving us your ears. And we will see you next week. Thank you all for those who listen to us live on Facebook. And we will come back next week, and then we'll continue part two of effective leadership. Thank you, and have a blessed week. God bless you. All right, so that brings us to the end of another edition. Well, thank you all for listening to us. My name is Kizito. And I will see you next week. Thank you. Have a blessed week. God bless. Bye.